So we invite up Pankaj Bansal first, blockchain and AI expert at the UN and LTO network, shaping global standards across capital markets and supply chains. So we get a round of applause for Pankaj. And then our second guest, we have Sunny Liu, is the CEO and co-founder of VeChain, with 15 years of tech experience, including as CIO of Louis Vuitton China. And we also have Jack Davis, who some of you may know, potentially. He's filling in last minute. He couldn't get anyone else, so it's Jack. No, I'm joking. We wanted him on there. So the first panel is going to be about Web3 for social good. Like Web3 gets a bad rep, typically associated with crypto, speculation, meme coins, all this kind of stuff. But we want a panel of experts to actually justify how it can create positive societal change. And that's why we've got these people on stage. So shall we kick this off?
Yeah, let's do it. So obviously, you know, we've given you a quick intro. And the theme of this panel is all about kind of social challenges and how Web3 can address them. So why don't we just quickly set the scene for a moment and say, kind of, what are the biggest, in your mind, social challenges that technology specifically is well-positioned to actually challenge?
Let me start with Anna.
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. I think technology in general, when we talk about it, it's like, you know, an integration of Web3, blockchain, AI, and even IoT, as a matter of fact, right? So when we talk about all these different technologies, I think they have a huge role to play in the society today to make it a better place. It's ironical because they are the ones who are also creating a disruption, which maybe leading to things which is creating a negative impact. You know, for example, now we're seeing AI, with Gen AI, we're seeing that there is a lot of disruption in terms of jobs, for example. So I think there's a lot of play that these technologies can play, but there's also a lot of good that they're bringing in. So when we talk about society, at the UN, for example, we have SDG goals, right? So we are trying to see how it can impact the health, how it can impact the society in general, whether in terms of energy consumption, energy saving, water retention, and, you know, things like that. So blockchain really plays a big role in all these areas, especially when we talk about, let's say, energy grids, right? So we are working on a project and it's at a pilot stage where we're trying to see how we can improve energy storage through peer-to-peer systems in, you know, some parts of the world, especially like in the Asia Pacific part of the world. So that's one use case that we are seeing at this point in time. Secondly, we are also seeing how tokenization of small credit loans can really impact the farmers in, you know, developing nations. And that's really game-changing. We feel like it's really empowering because, you know, when a farmer goes out there and they want to take a loan, for example, they do not have a bank account to start with. In today's terms, like, almost 1.4 billion people are still unbanked. Like, you know, that's a shame, right? So when you don't have a bank account, how do you go to a bank to take loan, to have access to funds that you need to survive and to keep thriving, right? And farmers form a really major part of the ecosystem. But with blockchain tokens and tokenization of these small loans, you can actually help them because it's less risk. It's not as high risk as giving like huge amounts of loan, for example, but also giving them a foot in the door that you come out there, you take advantage of these smaller loans and, you know, you become a part of the system. So these are like just some of the smaller examples that we are working at this point in time. And it's really empowering to see that, you know, it really helps them to become part of global supply chains to create, you know, those kind of avenues for them to play a larger part in the world economy.
Yeah, social inclusion is a big reason, I think, interpretation for crypto. Speaking of crypto, Sunny's been in the crypto space for a long time. He's a bit of an OG of this. But you're coming at it from a slightly different angle, Sunny. It seems like you're more on the sustainability, the extra work. Could you talk about some of the biggest societal challenges in your mind that technology can help solve?
Well, if we think about a sustainability, even today, I would say getting even more controversial about this word, especially in the United States, right? After Trump's winning, even the whole crypto industry is kind of like, oh yeah, we have the most friendly, crypto-friendly ever. But also, we also hear some of the topics about like the greenwash, like sustainability becomes weaponized. Honestly, I think it's true in some sense. It was, you know, in some scenarios or some bad cases, it has been weaponized. There are lots of the greenwash concept. But also on the other side, especially when I talk to, okay, one of our friends, I'm going to meet him tomorrow. It's actually, they're not really against sustainability. Whatever, you know, like Joe Rogan or Elon Musk, they're not really against sustainability. They're actually against the way of doing for how to, you know, achieve those sustainability goals. There are many challenges, but the very obvious one is the individual person kind of getting left out of the game. While we don't see the results among, you know, after long efforts or many efforts has been done in many decades. And I used the, I told a story like a few months ago in New York in the climate change with BCG guys. I said, the current challenge about sustainability, it's like a bunch of people living beside a pool, everybody living by the water. We use the water for drinking, you know, to be clean, all of the stuff. It's basically like our life support, right? And everybody behave well, then everyone is fine. Until some dude, you know, maybe get wasted or, you know, some nighttime doing a pee in the pool. And it's a small thing, a small action, but everybody gets screwed up, right? And they try to clean up the pool, it takes so many hours. That's exactly as the whole world sustainability. So in a nutshell, I would say it's everyone's job. It's not only just the enterprise or big governments or even the UN's mission. No, it's everyone's mission. But how to get everyone to do or behave better, that's a very tough challenge, right? And instead of controlling or, oh, I'm gonna give you big fine if you do this, that thing, think about that. We cannot underestimate the tough side of the human being, right? And we should really try to incentivize people and motivate people doing the good thing. So I think the whatever crypto, the blockchain technology in general, is actually made for this type of challenges, right? It's basically we can use a crypto to incentivize people, and the blockchain can log and record, prove what you have done, even if it's a small fractional effort coming from the databases. And that it is actually fundamental, I would say, value coming from this new technology. And plus the AI kind of make it very possible and very progressing, and to make more and more people can be involved and can be motivated, and then it's getting better and better every day. I think that's about the challenge and how the blockchain and crypto can solve that.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that very slightly. I think this whole idea of, I was talking micro-incentives, so incentivizing small actions, I think it's one of the most powerful things or tools we have in society for sustainability goals. And I think, you know, look no further than, I always get to use this example because it keeps getting pushed back every year, but there is a plastic bottle deposit scheme coming to the UK. It was meant to be just Scotland. It's now coming to, I think, England as well, and maybe on the island. And now it's 2027, so I've got another 2 years to use this story. But that is a case where you'll be, essentially, society will be now adding a deposit of 20 pence onto every plastic bottle you buy, which you'll get back if you return that as a deposit center. And so it's my point being is that that's not a technological thing. Obviously, there's tech involved in solving that, but it's an incentives thing, and it's recognized that that's a powerful thing to do. And if you want evidence for that, you know, look no further than the 5p carryback charge in the UK. That, you know, as of 2023, 98%. Reduction in plastic bag use, and you go for the shop. So it's clearly a huge thing by having this additional, in that case, it's kind of punitive incentive, right? You're saying, don't by bag, but then it can work the opposite way. So I think the principle is quite well proven, and I guess Web3 is potentially a way to help facilitate doing that.
We've seen a lot of this stick, like finding people, basically treating people like criminals to do these kind of activities. And more we're seeing carrot now, incentivizing people to do good and this kind of the green investment and all this kind of stuff, but I think it's completely necessary. So the question is about Web3. We saw it as a Web3 podcast, which early days, the first 10 episodes were about blockchain, micropayments, blah, 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 and then we started to incorporate all these other topics. But to bring it back to blockchain, I think Sonny mentioned it, Jack kind of followed on from that. A lot of people just describe it as a database. It is just, it's a database structure, right? What is blockchain's role in addressing these challenges? What are the characteristics of blockchain specifically that kind of enable us to address these challenges in a different way that wasn't previously possible?
I can do that first. Let's see, we always look back. I'm a history guy. I like to study and read about a history because the history always repeated and we can have so much learn, and that's how humankind can progress, right? So if we look at the history of the internet actually solved the problem of productivity, right? Internet creates so many tools, kind of eliminate the barriers of the time and space, and bring up more collaboration so we can have more united or collaborated productivity coming from the internet technology. And I would say blockchain, at a high level, it solves the relationship issue. It kind of, let's say, change the formality, how people can work together. Just think about that. Before blockchain, before even the crypto, smart contract, all of the technology terms, let's say if group of people wants to unite together and try to solve some problem, share the same thought, same passion together, what you gonna do? You're gonna create a company or association or like a biggest, like could be like UN, right? And then you define all of the governance, all of the management rules, and define the payment or compensation policies, and then everybody doing your job, and you finish a big mission eventually, hopefully, right? So, but it kind of put some kind of constraints or limitations. People need to figure out a way how to work together. People need to have like belonging relationship to an association or to a company, even to sign a labor contract. By the way, I don't like lawyers, but the blockchain can really make the total change about this type of the formality. Think about that. If you are sharing the same passion with a group of people, and then we can have a smart contract to define the deliverables and your compensation rules, and you don't need to care like your co-workers are all comrades coming from which country, which place, which time zone, and basically we can work with everyone. And also it's not necessarily to be like company to company or enterprise to association or to a government. No, I don't care. It could be a very small team just remotely in some other different time zones, or just one individual developers are doing the work, or even a random guy could pick up the trash from the street, also doing a little bit contribution or work to our big mission. So you don't necessarily to be a labor contract or define the working relationship. Because many fractional efforts, which is needed in a global sustainability effort, it's actually coming from everyday life. You don't need to sign a contract for that, right? But we could give you, or we could enable some kind of compensation rules or policies to incentivize people to those small efforts or small work, but make group together, well, as a accumulative collective impact will be impressive. So I think the blockchain and the crypto as one of the products of the blockchain technology is actually creating the new relationship between among people to people, or people to enterprise, or people to government, and make it so diverse and make it like very productive and efficient, then the human society will going to go to the next level. Even we're still in the early stage. It, for sure, for my records, it's never going to happen overnight. But that's the direction we should go towards. Take the benefits of the blockchain and crypto technology.
So yours is mostly about the collaboration, global collaboration, the global incentivization using blockchain technologies, DAOs and all this kind of stuff.
100%.
Okay, so Pankur, you're coming at it from a slightly different angle. Is there a particular characteristic of blockchain technology that you think means that it can solve so many challenges that weren't previously possible?
Yeah, so how I got into blockchain, or the world, is back in 2015, where I was, again, like, I wasn't a full-time job, but it seemed I was based in Site J. And, you know, I had an international client, and, you know, they wanted to pay me through PayPal, but I just checked, like, PayPal is charging 10% with all transaction costs. And I was like, why am I not paying 10% of $5,000, for example, right? And then obviously, like, I just really got into the Bitcoin crypto craze, you know, I think Bitcoin was around 5,000 or something at that point. And it's like, okay, let me open a wallet through one of the exchanges. I did Binance at that point. And let me get that transparency, like, how does this work? So I did all of that. I set not every date and all the transaction. And they can charge me 0.1% of the transaction fee. That's when I realized the power of this technology. You know, like, that's how it empowers you as an individual to kind of save your money, to kind of like remove that intermediary level where, you know, when you become less dependent on centralized bigger authorities which take a chunk of your hard-earned money or the right. It's basically, for me, in a nutshell, it's like less dependent on these centralized entities who are kind of a middle layer who try to take a large chunk of the profit or of your share of your running. So I believe, you know, that's the ethos of what blockchain brings over here. It's decentralization. It's less dependent on these larger institutions who kind of try to control us through your different means, whether it's trying to take your data away, whether it's trying to take a layer of your profits away, or charging people like, you know, honey or hefty charges because there are no other options available. But blockchain is kind of changing that. Now we're getting more options to become a part of the ecosystem, but also retain our rights and our share of, you know, the society that can be a part of us, basically.
Okay, so you've gone for the more efficiency, disintermediation, all this kind of stuff, and also the censorship resistance as well. So we've basically gone through all the big characteristics. So I'm not going to answer Jack for another answer because he would duplicate probably. So I'm going to ask Jack a trickier question because I'd like to put him on the spot. So,
certainly didn't plan this.
It's all ad hoc. Everyone, whenever they say blockchain, you immediately think crypto. Is that the only use case of blockchain, do you think? Is it crypto? Is there more than just that? Or is crypto the main? He's laughing because he's not sure how to answer it.
Dumb question. No, absolutely. I think what Sonny was talking about alludes to the different use cases, right? The idea of kind of automating business logic, kind of like using the term business logic to kind of turn sort of people off, but it's automating rules for things to happen based on, you know, they could be triggered by payment, can be triggered by other conditions, you know, oracles, how we've got data on chain is a very interesting aspect of all that. So I think the way that smart contracts facilitates to do different things in a distributed manner is very interesting, and it's part of the paradigm that we now have through blockchain and Web3 that didn't really exist before in my mind, this idea of community, you know, having the way that a smart contract, and I'm not going to get too technical, but the way a smart contract is essentially it's a living, breathing entity that lives on the blockchain that anyone can interact with once it's published, is a very interesting model for doing things. And I think the kind of things you can do with that, supply chain has always been something I found interesting. I think it's a bit of a shame that a lot of the early days of blockchain, that opportunity for how you can apply blockchain to supply chain was taken over by pretty much the private blockchain industry, right? It was, you know, there was clearly uptake for, okay, shared state, distributed system. We've got lots of parties to coordinate over how we, you know, get this good from, mining an ore all the way to, you know, product that gets in the hands of the consumer. There's lots of different people to coordinate in that supply chain, lots of different transactions, changing hands, data moving around. So it's a perfect application for that kind of smart contract technology. The problem was it was taken up by all these big players initially and put into a private blockchain model where you don't get some of the benefits that you guys kind of alluded to, I think, and where, or at least those benefits aren't as beneficial as they should be in gaining you that power. So I think, you know, I don't want to say a blockchain for supply chain because it's a bit of a meme, but I think that's just one example of how you can use it. I personally think the most exciting things you can do with blockchain are, again, on the micro side, not necessarily just for incentivizing behaviors and certain sustainability, but in terms of things like social media or the creator economy, where you can reward people, you could support people on a very small level. Like if you take Patreon, for example, that puts a minimum threshold for how much it's going to cost me to support someone. It's £1 a month or £5 a month. Whereas with blockchain, you could tip someone, you know, 1/100 of a cent if you wanted to. And I know it's a small tip to get, and you know, me and I wouldn't mind that.
One of the things that when we spoke about micropayments in like the third episode we ever recorded, the example Jack gave was around OnlyFans and just being sent like a penny for whatever. He got that out in the end.
I don't think.
Okay, so you've given, Jack's given a good use case, and Pekuri and Sunny, you both alluded to some of the use cases you're working on right now. But could you really go into, let's start with you, Pekuri, what are the use cases that you're working on right now that utilizes blockchain technology?
Yeah, absolutely. A very interesting use case that we're working on is to trace critical raw materials from one part of the world to the other. So it could be nickel for valve, for example. These are like critical raw minerals, right? And they're also rare. But we try to trace, let's say, if it's going from Australia to Europe. So the whole trace of the supply chain is what we're trying to trace and to understand the implications so that they can be used in a more efficient manner. And they're not just wasted at different middle layers, but also utilized to the level where they are more empathetic in that sense. And then the other use case that we are working on is basically understanding the dual degree goods. So that's a drones, for example, they're dual degrees because they can be used for commercial purposes, you know, security, surveillance, and things like that. Defense purposes, just security, surveillance, and things like that, but also commercial purposes, right, that we see in the everyday world of using drones. But the problem with these kind of goods is that they're very sensitive, and it's very important to know that they're going in the right hands, especially for the security perspective of different countries altogether. So, you know, we're trying to trace that also, an imprint of where it comes from, where who's the end user, where it's originating from. So, yeah, these are very, like, critical in the sense for an organization such as the UN because they are at the power of, you know, surveillance and security and things like that, and also for, you know, human rights. So I think, yeah, these are two very important ones, I would say, but in general, like, you know, an organization such as UN is also always looking for ways to standardize supply chain, which is again very important. Like we have been asking, rightly saying, we've been talking about supply chain, blockchain and supply chain for so many years. You know, we had Trade Lens, for example, you've had now Food Trust, for example. But like Trade Lens was not as successful, right? Like you can do it, started at such a big scale, but it did not achieve the success that you were looking at for supply chain. Food Trust seems to be promising, but again, there are like so many hurdles in kind of achieving that. So what we're focusing on is creating supply chain standards. And what I mean by that is, let's say there are 10 different parties involved in a particular import export transaction. Now we need to record data onto a ledger or blockchain, right? For example, now how do they do that? So the process of recording that data, let's say you're defining every line item in a certain format. So that format needs to be replicated across all these 10 different parties so that the data can eventually talk to each other. So there has to be standards for that in play so that it becomes easy to adopt the technology. And that is something that we have been religiously working on through that ISO and UN. And this we believe is very important to even achieving scalability, interoperability. And yeah, we try to apply that across the supply chain in your different parts of AdFi as well.
Yes, is the characteristics there is mostly the immutability, the transparency.
Or digitizing, like even e-bills are playing, for example, right? So trying to digitize those, making it more user-friendly, just to use it on a day-to-day level.
That's a big thing, Mike. We talk about how it's transparent, but you need standards to actually move that in across. Yeah. And that makes sense for the UN because they're working across so many different borders, jurisdictions. So it makes sense to have, you know, a distributed ledger for that.
Like, yeah, because every shipping, you know, product of every $3,000 is based for every shipment that you do. So that's a huge amount of money that you're talking about in the day.
Well, you know, Sunny, this was part of your origin story into crypto, wasn't it? You were CIO of Louis Vuitton, and was it all about supply chain transparency early days?
Yeah. Well, firstly, I have to back a differ about what Frederick just said. IBM's food trust service is not that promising. Otherwise, you know, Walmart, after 6 years, is still using VGM platform for food safety, right? No, I'm kidding. Right?
That's the only one in the market.
So your use, it's no longer the focus of supply chain transparency. What's the main use case that you and VeChain are driving towards?
Well, it's not right. Like, we're not focusing. Let's say it's still ongoing. Like I said, I'm not blind, telling the truth. Walmart China is still using the VeChain's platform for food safety. H&M, you know, they're still using that, right? But I would just respond a little bit what David said. It seems like, you know, incentive people with the small tips or OnlyFans model, whatever, you know, seems like totally different than supply chain cases, track and trace. Actually, it's not. Think about that. If you try to incentivize people to do a good thing, how are you going to verify that? It's a micro format of track and trace, right? Think about, well, we're working on a very exciting project is to incentivize people to use recycled plastic collected from the ocean. It do lots of the things, right? First, they clean up the ocean, save the marine animals. You know, there, every year, the wasted plastic put into the ocean is going to kill more than 100,000 marine animals. So it's a good thing. But how do we verify it? It will starting from track and trace, or proof of existence in terms of technology terms, to do this type of incentivization, right? So I would say it's not a separate case, but it usually happening in a combined case, it's just different steps. So in my view, the ultimate blockchain application cannot be just track and trace or supply chain management. There is a benefit about it, but it's not enough. It needs to have, in my view, it's called token in play application. That means the crypto needs to play a very important role in the future blockchain applications. Otherwise, our code is just database type blockchain application. So basically just replace some of the database by the blockchain technology.
Do you think there's no use case for blockchain technology without the crypto incentive aspect as well, the value creation as well?
Yeah, I would say it's more like based on what you do, and then you get incentive, and then it kind of build up the new relationship between, let's say, random individual people or massive retail users with a green cause or green mission. Okay. That's about a crypto. So if you ask about, like, you know, what we have been doing, what we are focused on, again, all of the supply chain applications, track and trace, it's running behind on the backstage. It's like, to us, it's like a case as usual, right? We still have like hundreds of applications or enterprise applications running. But right now, we are building up, we call the VBetterDAO as incentive individual ecosystem to incentivize individuals going through different type of applications to do good things. So right now we have, I think, more than 30 decentralized applications right now covering the different aspects. And also we got a Piero here. Piero is driving one of the applications. We call it a superstar. It's actually Matcha, because they will be the first one, very close, to be the first 1 million user. So think about 1 million user decentralized application, right? We're not talking about like a DAX or DeFi verticals or speculative trading, no. We're talking about the real thing. We're saving the trees by using the recycled box. Seriously.
You don't want to take too much of Piero's thunder, because he's going to come on after this.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to steal the thunder of that, but I just feel so happy. Like, we are approaching to one of the applications, could reach to 1 million users very quickly, right? And I think more and more applications covering the different aspects will, you know, driving more people to do better, make the better choice on a daily basis, and eventually the accumulative collective results just so impressive and so much better to tokenize.
So we are running over time as we expected. So we're gonna give you one last question. Okay, try and keep it somewhat concise. This is a big question, so it's gonna be hard. I'll start with you, Jeff. I know you like to talk. What excites you most about the future of technology?
Well, I'm gonna, staying on the theme we've been talking about, kind of Web3 for social good. I think the most exciting, or not the most exciting, because there's I find it all exciting, but I think what's happening in the general cryptography space right now, because for anyone, I'm sure lots of you are aware, but a lot of what's happening with cryptography systems in terms of how you prove information is true or disclose information without giving too much away, that kind of thing. A lot of that is being developed in tandem with crypto, as in the cryptocurrencies, blockchains, and zero-knowledge proofs. I'm sure lots of you have heard of those. Are they're getting better and better all the time. You can do different things with them. They're coming out with different properties. I'll just give you one example for why I'm excited about them. What am I most excited about for maths? Well, it's not just that. It's what you can do with them. There's a really interesting company called Rarimo, who are allowing you to use zero-knowledge proofs now to generate proof of your identity based on a legally issued passport. Why is that important? Because the first use case was with something called Freedom Tool last year, where it was used by people, Russian dissidents, to help vote in elections in Russia without having to give away certain information about themselves, to allow them to participate in the electoral process, right? But that, putting themselves at too much risk, which was, it's a hugely important thing. And that's being achieved. That's one of the kind of things that's being achieved through blockchain and the satellite technologies, right? When we talk about Web3, we're talking about blockchain plus AI, blockchain plus all the cryptography that comes with it. I think that kind of thing encapsulates, Web3 for social good isn't just like a meme. I think it's very much something that has weight behind it.
And Kurt, you're next.
Sure, I think I resonate, Jack, because DIDs or decentralized identities is something which is something to be excited about, because with more and more deep AI data being pulled out there, and like deep fakes, for example, that we are seeing, I think blockchain is going to play an even more integral part in kind of ensuring at least the data that is being pulled out is authentic, because it's being recorded in the blockchain, so it has to be immutable to some degree. So, seeing that on top of AI is something that I feel is going to be the future. And also because, so much of our data or our privacy is out there in the open, that I'm sure, we as citizens will very soon start taking responsibility and become more and more aware of where our data is being used, because, that could play a huge role in kind of your own security, like as an individual. So I think putting AI on top of blockchain is extremely important at this point, and that's where zero knowledge proofs or DIDs come into play to kind of marry that together and create a better society for ourselves in general, to not let our privacy get invaded. It's very important.
Yeah, I think that's something we're going to speak about a lot in the second panel. We've got a couple of crazy AI guys coming on stage, so that should be fun to talk about. Sonny, you got the last answer.
Well, I sponsor you guys, so I got the privilege, right?
He tells us what we saw.
Well, I've been excited about the blockchain for the last 2 years. I think, kind of get tired about the excitement, but I want to call I'm kind of like living the moment guy, like carpe diem. Firstly, lots of things really exciting is really happening. We were talking about enterprise adoption, supply chain, also talk about the future, the ultimate blockchain applications will have a token in play. How will they make that happen? How those enterprises can embrace that actually is linked to the regulations. And we do have new regulation reviewing everywhere in the world, right? Singapore approaching some regulations, and US are, I think today they're gonna have like a SEC crypto roundtable or something like that.
Trump has asked for stable coin regulation.
Yeah, so it's a starting point, right? It's a starting point. And Europe is making ahead of everybody else. Europe has a MiCA launched. By the way, BEG and VISO just get MiCA compliance two, three days ago. So we're getting really excited about that. That means it kind of opens up door for many possible opportunities, right? Imagine, like, think about a few years ago when we approached into enterprise, whatever, like BYD in China or Walmart or H&M. They were like, yeah, we can do track and trace, but don't touch the crypto beast, right? That's a, like a bad impression about a crypto. Even we call it bad names or bad water about crypto coming from those, you know, whatever FTX or Luna crashes or the bad cases. But now with regulation clarity, it means like, okay, the crypto itself is not a bad thing. It's a tool. Just, you know, depends which hands use it, right? So put in the good hand, then you will come up with very good value, very good impacts. Or if you put in the bad hand, it could be money laundering, it could be, you know, criminal cases. So I think the regulation clarity can really open up the door. And I'm really excited about those. It feels like more and more cases will be coming on board, right? And we actually talking about several enterprise, they're waiting to setting up or join the VBAT at all as one of that doing applications. That's really like, you know, couldn't imagine before. So that's what I'm excited for now. I mean, I have many other things excited as well.
So you started by saying you hate lawyers and you ended by saying I love regulation.
Yeah, I mean, I think because I paid to pay those large bills to the lawyers.
Okay, so we've got some time now for questions. Does anyone in the audience have any questions for our panelists? You can ask anything. So I'm just going to repeat that question so we go on here. The question was, there's a lot, we're talking about applications, that, especially VBET DAO, that support individuals for doing positive actions. They reward them for making these positive steps and doing, you know, sustainable actions, all this kind of stuff. Are there any applications out there that incentivize and reward enterprises at the enterprise level for doing sustainable things?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, to you.
I think if the two words are meeting in the middle now. I give a concrete example. We are doing EVEARN, is one of the external applications in the VBET ecosystem, basically incentivizing individuals. Every time you charge your Tesla, right, you get the rewards right away. And firstly, we got authorization of Tesla APIs. So that means from the user, you don't need to be like a crypto user. You can log in the external application, like decentralized application, by Tesla accounts, and also the API of Tesla, provided by Tesla, transmit the data every time you finish the charger to the smart contract, and then the user, the driver, get the rewards right away. And imagine if that kind of the enterprise collaborating with this kind of the actual applications for the mutual benefits, and why not, right? So I would say, like, more and more, the individuals, users, going through those kind of decentralized applications, enterprise can work with individuals. And enterprise will see the benefits, why those individuals are doing XYZ impacts or results. And then imagine, like, every time you charge your car, or every time you even drive your car, you can get the mileage data. And then the smart contract you calculate, like you said, how much CO2 is saved, right? And then even it's a fractional small effort coming from the small value, but imagine how many cars, how many EVs in the world, 10 million, 100 million? Then we talk about billions of dollars as a business model, you know, for the whole world. Then that platform is supporting that kind of the, whatever you call GMV or GDP. That's a huge value. I'm sure most of the enterprise we're getting more and more interest and to try to explore how we're going to walk to him.
I think my two cents on this, now if I answer questions, is one on subsidies. So right now, you know, there are incentivizations from governments to say grants, blah, blah, if you hit certain targets, ESG friendly. How do you trust that data? That's an element. I'm not saying blockchain solves that. Like, it obviously is just one component of that, to say that data hasn't been tampered with for whatever many years and all this kind of stuff. There's still the element of, okay, is the data collection itself good? Is that been done properly? And then we can talk about that for flipping hours. The other thing is, like Sonny was saying, it's in the interest of enterprises to get their users to do these positive actions as well. Like, you very much imagine a world in which H&M starts saying, okay, if you recycle these clothes through our platform, we can micro-incentivize you, and then at the end of the day, it goes great for our enterprise to go to government, look how recyclable we are, look how much we've recycled, sustainable. So I think it is your retail pressure is coming to enterprises, and enterprise is also getting pressure from government, and I think that's going to work both ways. Okay, do you have any other questions? Anyone else? Yes?
What are the best ways to onboard web2 users?
Oh, it's a big question. What are the best ways to onboard web2 users?
If I knew that, I'd be a billionaire.
Jack, do you want to go?
No, actually, I'm working on that. There are multiple different aspects we got to do. First, you need to make the applications not really sensitive or crypto native. So that means for the normal people, you don't need to like memorize private keys or numeric phrase, or you can take care of those backup of wallets or asset security, you worry about it to be hacked and everything. So you need to get some kind of like custodian basis or social login solution. So by now, most of our applications, whatever, like I mentioned, when you use EVM, you can use a Tesla account to log in. When you use Mugshot or Greenify or Green Card, you can use Apple ID, Twitter accounts, and a Google account to log in. Then it will definitely remove the barriers for Web2 users come to test and come to play with those external applications, right? They will decentralize applications. And second, we need to give them, I usually got the question from Namito guy, saying, oh, it's great, I received the token. So what can I do? All right, should I just look at that, see the price goes up and goes up, and what can I do? Then we need a payment solution. We need to onboard to the different, let's say crypto debit card or any kind of payment solution to allow the user, okay, I take a coffee in the Starbucks using the recycle bag, I get the rewards, and next thing, I go into the convenience store, I use my incentive to pay for my milk or pay for my bread, right? Then the Web2 user doesn't even feel like, oh, that's a Web3 application or that's a blockchain or crypto stuff. I don't care. I was just a user. I enjoy that. And I getting those kind of impacts or results, like either I'm saving trees or I'm saving the marine animals, I feel good about this, right? And for sure, last but not least, is about the communication, about the marketing, about the adoptions. That's why we're working with UFC, DNY, PowerSlab. You're getting more and more enthusiastic young followers, fans, are know about us and start to get to use them. So yeah, it's quite a comprehensive aspect. You know, you got to do many works to.
Also, AI.
Oh yeah, of course, AI for sure.
It's just making everything human promptable, human languageable. It's gonna, I think it's gonna create crazy inputs in the next 3 years where you just say, you know, do this thing and it handles all the mnemonics and secret keys and whatnot.
You need some AI, you just said human languageable.
Well, human languageable, exactly. we are in over time. Unless there's any other questions, I think we can end this first panel. Can we have a round of applause for our audience?
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Untangling Web3.
Don't forget to send us your thoughts, questions, and comments on social media. And be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast provider to catch the next episode. See you next time to untangle a little bit more of Web3.
The views we express here are our own and do not reflect the views of our employers.